Welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast, where we feature high-achieving entrepreneurs and coaches and share their performance journeys. Now, let's get started with the show.
Steve Adams here, founder and CEO of Tiger Medical Institute. I'm the host of the Tiger Performance Podcast, where I interview thought leaders about their unique stories and the specialized knowledge they can offer the world. Okay, it's time to acknowledge our sponsor for today's episode, which is the Tiger Medical Institute. Our focus is on the mid-career dental professional, C-suite executive, and entrepreneur, many of whom are depleted and are not showing up as the best version of themselves. The Tiger system is a personalized root cause approach to health optimization and regeneration. The Tiger system is a one-year health transformation journey empowering you so you can show up as the best and healthiest version of you. Visit tigermi.com today to learn more. Today's guest, I'm excited to introduce you, is the chief operating officer and health coach, one of the health coaches at Tiger Medical Institute. His name is Kevin Hodges. Kevin moved to Seattle in 2002 to study at the Seattle School of Theology and Psychology. He received both a master's degree in counseling psychology and a certificate of domestic violence advocacy in 2007. Kevin also has a BA in mass communications from Taylor University in Upland, Indiana. He started his professional career in mental health at a psychiatric hospital and spent over a decade working with youth, adolescent, and adult patients. He was an instructor for nonviolent crisis intervention in both the hospital and community settings during this time. For the final 3 years, he served as the supervisor for two alternative schools the hospital ran, while also acting as a liaison to Lake Washington School District as a mental health professional. In 2013, he taught as an adjunct professor in City University's graduate program for counseling psychology. He transitioned out of the mental health field to help raise his two young sons shortly thereafter. And after a brief stint as a full-time stay-at-home dad, he received certification from the National Association of Sports Medicine and began personal training in the private sector. In 2015, he contracted with Exos Sports Performance and expanded his personal training to corporate gyms at both the Nintendo headquarters in Redmond, Washington, and Google campuses in Kirkland and Seattle. Kevin once again pivoted in 2020, when we all did, when the pandemic closed most of the gyms and facilities across the globe. He began his own coaching business, focusing on a holistic, integrative approach to helping busy professionals find balance in work and life. With Kevin's extensive background in psychology in both clinical and community settings, as well as education and personal training, he provides a balanced approach that empowers Tiger clients to examine their present circumstances and acknowledge and accept the past while firmly moving forward towards a healthier future. Kevin, welcome to the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Thank you, Steve.
So nice background, my man. And I knew a lot because I hired you. But I'm really excited to have you here today because we want to answer the big question, why should I work with a health coach? That's our goal today. And I think you're uniquely qualified to answer that question. And so first, just tell us a little bit about your family.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, in there, you mentioned that we have two boys. So I just celebrated my 17th wedding anniversary with my wife, Natalie. And we have two boys. Henry is 12, Hudson's 9, and school year just started. So life is back into a different kind of transition where we have better schedules, but, you know, all those tasks that come with school. But we live in Kirkland, Washington, and we're really, really fortunate. My wife's family's nearby. So we have grandparents and aunts and uncles and cousins that interact with our kids quite a bit. So pretty fortunate.
That's great. Well, that's good. Well, Kevin, you know, as you transitioned in 2020 to coaching, you know, I kind of look at your whole history. You also were an athlete. You know, I guess the question I have is like, what drew you into coaching? What excites you about it? You know, what is the, you know, what's that? What gets you up in the morning excited about helping people achieve change?
Yeah. You know, I think the term coach, you know, could be interchanged with some different roles that we see in our community, just sort of on a non-specific way, right? Like mentors. people in our life that kind of give us guidance, counselors, and then more specific, like therapists and teachers and things like that. And I've always kind of felt, kind of seen myself in one of those roles at different times, you know, what that looks like. But so coaching is, you know, that term for me is that person that is doing teaching, that's offering mentorship, that typically has gone through it themselves. And so they're coming from a place of experience with some knowledge. But my favorite part too is just what a, you know, it's such a benefit to be able to learn from our clients. And I think that they forget that sometimes. And I think that's what I get excited about. I don't think that gets listed in the coaching thing. People think we're rah, 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 and we have the answers. But truly, we're learning as people go because our clients are so unique. And that's a big part of what gets me up in the morning is just partnering with somebody to help them to get healthier. Yeah.
Excellent. And so what, you know, when you think about your experience coaching people, and it hasn't just been limited to the last 3 years since you pivoted. I mean, you were coaching people as a trainer. You were coaching people as a psychologist too. You know, what do you believe are the primary benefits? Let's narrow it down now into the tiger setting. Like, as a health coach, you know, what are the primary benefits to our clients to take that extra step of not only partnering with a physician to get really, you know, specific data about their health, but then partnering with a health coach? What do you think the benefits are?
Yeah, you know, you and I have talked about this, and a lot of people may not know that there, you know, there are health programs out there. They're very expensive and they give you lots of information. And that's oftentimes, that's where it ends, right? So here's 300 pages. We just dug into you. Here you go. And then people go, what am I supposed to do with this? And I think that's what sets us apart. One of the things, there's obviously several things. And I think from the coaching perspective, as people start to learn about themselves, there's a few areas that they need support in, right? So sometimes the information can feel scary, right? So they start to feel alone, like, oh, I've been given this diagnosis or something was found out about me. So partnership is a huge piece of coaching. You have this person that's saying like, you're not alone. And that, I think even that is as simple as it needs to be sometimes. You're not alone. We're here with you on this journey. And then my approach as a therapist in the hospital, as a personal trainer, as a coach, my hope always is to educate somebody, to journey with them. And then, you know, I tell clients, especially when I was in training, I hope you don't need me going forward. We can still have a partnership, but I want to empower you to the point where you feel confident in this. And I think that's another thing a coach does is they set you up for success beyond their role.
I think the key term there too is need. You know, people can have a long-term ongoing relationship with a coach and benefit from that, but they don't need them. There's a difference, right?
Yeah.
Maybe unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. You know, I think of it as, as a father raising children, right? And I have a 12-year-old and I start to think about, I need this kid to be independent. I want him to be able to, you know, do it on his own. And, you know, I come from a relational psychology background. That's a big part. And I often try to help people to understand, like, I view success, I view good health as you are able to stand on your own. And I think what we all want for our children is that they become independent and then choose to come back to us, right, in some form. And that's a really great relationship. And as a coach, it's the same thing. It doesn't mean that now we're done, see you later. It's more that you can do this on your own. And now we're into a partnership and there's a sort of mutual benefit there. And that's our goal, right? Is to empower people so they're not dependent on us. But that, you know, we all need help going forward, you know, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, something we talk about in our team meetings is, you know, we are at Tiger, we're really in the new you business. Okay. It's not just about our doctor. It's not just about the science. At the end of the day, we're going to be evaluated on our clients are investing their money with us to help them become a new person, to transform. And we all believe as a team that people want to transform. It's in them. They want it. And that's really the hero's journey story. I mean, all those movies we watch, it's somebody who transforms. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And they just need a plan and they need a guide and a helper. And that's what we are. And so as a result, it really, if you're going to transform, that means you're changing from where you are now. And I know for me, 6 years ago, when I started my own personal health transformation journey, I had to acknowledge that I had certain habits and behaviors that got me there. Okay. And I needed new ones to get me to a new place where I could say I transformed. The question I have for you, Kevin, is, and you work with our other coaches, how do you as the coaching team get behavior change to happen in someone's life? Now, I know it's not all on us, but what are some of the tools, the devices, the theories that you use to help people actually start to make baby steps and incremental change in their behavior?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's going to look different for each client. But I think, you know, one of the big things that we start with at Tiger is mindset. And, you know, one, understanding what mindset clients are bringing into us, right? That can be a big difference. If somebody's coming in with trepidation and they're not quite sure what they're going to experience, that mindset's very different than somebody that's coming in and saying, like, I'm ready for change.
Yep.
So mindset, understanding, you know, what each individual client's mindset is, and then how we're going to approach that, and then developing a mindset around what this program is about. You know, it's not easy. Making these changes are tough. And I tell everybody, if we ask you to change one area of our 8 health habits, that would be a big ask. We have 8 of them. Yep. So, you know, that takes a lot of work. But the mindset coming into it can set the tone for each of those. Mm-hmm. Then we start to look at, you know, we've used BJ Fogg, we've looked at James Clear. We have a lot of background in mindset and habit formation and change. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of different factors that go into that. But a lot of it is starting small. So when our health habits, we try to start with very simple parts of what we want them to learn, and then we can make it more complicated. And each client's going to move through each health habit at a different pace. But we start with those small changes in the beginning. And then, you know, as they adapt those habits, we can start to work and build from that. So mindset really matters to get us kickstarted, and then start to work on small changes and stay focused on those 8 health habits that we have.
And then, you know, Kevin, why is it important to start small? Is that related to the motivation, willpower question?
It is. It's definitely something that, especially when you pick a lot of categories, you know, if we were talking about one thing, we might be able to, you know, jump in a little bigger. But we have so many things that we're going to be changing that keeping it small in the beginning. Plus, we want to set people up for success. And so when we make small incremental habit changes, those start to stack and build. And even though, you know, you think about somebody dieting and they lose 10 pounds and they're like, I lost 10 pounds in 7 days. But is that the goal? Wasn't the goal to slowly get your weight and then all the things around that weight? So the big changes feel good sometimes, but do they last? And that's, you know, ultimately as agents of change and health, we want these things to stick and to last a long time. And the research has played out over and over again, making those small changes are big building blocks.
Right. I know in my book, Unleash the Peak Performer Within You, the research I did on willpower, it was really stunning. Basically, willpower is unreliable. We have to build habits, not relying on willpower. We have to build automation. And we have to build our schedule to support it. And we got to start small because our motivation, our willpower is not, you need to start at the lowest, you know, little thing. And, you know, one of the examples I've used when I've coached people is, you know, trying to get them to do their diaphragmic breathing in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, and what I found was everybody hits the button on the coffee maker in the morning. So we tied, okay, do 5 minutes of breathing when you hit the button to the coffee maker, because that's a prompt that reminds them to do it. And they got to wait 5 minutes anyway for it to percolate. So you might as well do your breathing. And so just a little, like, it's an example of what you're talking about there.
Yeah, it's great. And actually, the percolation is a really fun metaphor to play with, right? Because essentially that diaphragmatic breathing, that start, you're percolating
your day,
who you are inside, right? Like that physiological response. And again, you nailed something too, is tying in a new habit to an existing habit. We know that there's a lot of strength in that. So, I mean, that is exactly, you know, the things that we start to coach people on is, some people say, well, I don't have the time. It's like, okay, well, what do you do?
Yeah.
And then we'll tie that in.
Yes. Yeah. So Kevin, in your experience, you know, working with clients, can you talk about some, I mean, obviously you can't name names for HIPAA, but what are some of the exciting things you've seen, the changes you've seen in our clients that, you know, kind of fuel your tank?
Yeah. Well, honestly, one of the big things that we see in a lot of people to varying degrees, though, is when people go from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset. And that's not a category that we say that you're always a fixed mindset about everything.
Right.
Don't mean it in that terms. What I mean is that we each have areas where we have developed an idea about ourselves that we think that we're not going to be able to change. Like, I'll be able to do a lot of these other things, but this thing I won't be able to change. And that, to me, when people start to, one, you know, they kind of get a better understanding of what that looks like for them, it's very exciting. Because when somebody has adopted a growth mindset, it's awesome to see that change come, right? They're like, oh,
you now know,
and as a psychologist, I'm always curious, like, how did we get to these fixed mindsets? You know, why did I think that I would never be successful? Why did I think I would never have this because my family didn't, things like that. So those relations are important, but that's exciting. I think when people realize that we're not selling anything magical here, right? When they kind of come to this place where they're like, wow, like, this is pretty practical, but it's hard work. And it's like, ta-da.
So, right. It is.
That's a really good feeling, because the journey isn't over then, right? No, it's actually sort of the beginning, but it's really, that's so much of the work that we do is getting people to realize, like, this isn't, you know, no, hear me out. What Dr. Matt does is pretty special. So it's not magic, but it is special. And our backgrounds as coaches and the way that we've developed our program is special. So it's hard to repeat, but it's not magic. It is a lot of hard work backed by science and, you know, a lot of psychology.
Yeah, I like to say it's simplicity on the other side of complexity. You know, Dr. McNamee did the 10 years of study and, you know, residency and did all of his work. And then he worked in Silicon Valley for 7 years, working with a lot of high-end executives, fixing, you know, their malaise, if you will, from all the stress and overwork. And so, you know, it's been that. And then we've ended up integrating three different branches of science into the program that look seamless to the client. They don't really realize they're getting it, but they are. But you're right. At the end of the day, what we're asking people to do is, you know, allow our clinicians to get an incredible amount of data on them so that they can personalize and customize a treatment plan for them. But then once they get that, it really comes down to the blocking and tackling fundamentals of daily living that you work out with your health coach. And so it's the integration of those eight health habits with the data from the clinical side. And when those two synergize, it's pretty exciting to watch. You know, we've seen people have massive reductions in A1C levels, inflammation level reductions, you know, improvement in their weight. You know, everybody gets more energy. Everybody sleeps better. Everybody de-stresses. You know, I mean, it's so cool when people de-stress because, you know, all the data on heart rate variability, you know, if you activate the vagal nerve and get more recovery in your body going, that is predictive of better health in the future.
So
people, and they're achieving these on their own, really, with the guidance of a coach.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's incredible. And it makes the work, you know, that much more enjoyable. And it feels fulfilling, right? Because you're watching people learn and then establish habits and then move forward in their health. And I geek out on this. So that's the job, right? Like, that's where I get excited to see people do that. And, you know, one of the great things too is working with so many of our clients that have seen the progress, how it starts to kind of ooze out of them. They want to talk about it. They want to share it. They want to, but honestly, I think, you know, and they don't always articulate this well, but I think what they want now is to give that to somebody they know that's struggling. And isn't that one of the best things that we can do, is that we can start to improve and touch lives, you know, beyond. Several degrees away from us, right?
No, I can tell you how it's worked on my own family. Mm-hmm. On both sides, my wife's and my family, health was not pursued. Yeah, I mean, everybody wants good health, but no one was taking any, you know, proactive steps, including me. And as I transform me, my kids watch that happen, and my wife, and even my parents. So my son coaches my 81-year-old father now, you know, just off the side, because he won't listen to me. He'll listen to his grandson, but not his son. And what I've seen is as I transformed, everybody around me got better. And so we have this language in our family now. We all have Aura rings. We all talk about what our readiness scores were. And, you know, there's this vernacular and this language now that is in our family that wasn't there 5 years ago. And I'm so excited about it because of the downstream effects it's going to have 50 years from now.
So awesome.
And that's what you're talking about, you know, it's infecting all of our clients' families, we hope.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's inevitable. And one of our clients recently said, I had 5 or 6 people come up to me and say, what's going on? You look different. Yep. And he said, I lost weight at the beginning of the program, but I haven't been shedding pounds. So it's been a few weeks that they've seen me. So it's not the weight loss. He said, there's just something about me. He's like, and I think it is. It's this energy that sort of flows from him. But I think it's also our countenance. You know, how do we look? What is occupying our thoughts and our emotions? And when you're in a better place of health, I think that you carry yourself in a way that seems obvious. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I love the quote. It's the person with good health has 1,000 dreams. The person without good health has one.
That's right.
And, you know, I know for me, going through a health transformation personally, the last 3 years have been the most productive 3 years of my life, combined more than anything else in my past. And, you know, it's not that I didn't do anything. I was the president of a bank at 36 years old and built a large company prior to the one that we have here with Tiger. But the amount of energy and clarity and excitement and optimism and clear-headed thinking, ability to focus, and the stamina, all of that is there in a way that I haven't had ever in my life altogether. And so, you know, what this enables me and what I hope our clients who engage with us understand is, you know, your goals can be different. Not everybody's building a business. You can show up as the best version of a grandmother that you possibly can be, or mother or father, or, you know, friend, or, you know, be able to enjoy mobility and the ability to go to Europe or someplace into your 80s instead of having to stop. You know what I mean? Be able to play on the floor with your grandkids versus sitting in a chair and just talking to them. Yeah. It's such a game changer for people. And that, to me, that's what's most gratifying, is seeing the empowerment of our clients to change and re-script their future, redefine what age should tell them what their expectations should be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And how about you? Like, what are the most gratifying things you've seen?
Yeah, I think that is a big part of it. You know, even the practical, simple things that we kind of overlook, but food. Somebody sitting down to a meal and not stressing about eating healthy, you know, of just eating what's right for their body, because they know they've gotten information. They know, right? And then to be satisfied with the meal and to be able to let it settle, go for a walk. Yep. Those things sound too simple, but to be honest, I've spent time with people not in this program, you know, and you go out to eat and people stuff themselves and they grab their belly and then they suffer the consequences of indigestion and whatever allergy they might have or what, you know, this is a daily occurrence for people. And I just think, like, why do we keep doing this to ourselves? So those things are very simple. And then, yeah, like you've talked about as well, the relational piece, as people look at their health in a way that's positive and they have this mindset of like, this is just the beginning, I'm going to keep working towards this. It's actually doesn't take that much bandwidth. Once you get those habits established, then you can start to use that good energy for work, relationships, community. It trickles down into all these other areas. And that is the goal. You know, that is the goal of what we're trying to do, is promote not just a healthy lifestyle for each individual. That's what they come to us for. But we know that starts to permeate the community and then hopefully keeps going out.
Right. And, you know, as a mental health professional, how do you feel like a person who integrates these 8 health habits and goes through the process with Tiger, how do you believe that can help them with their mental health?
I mean, it's tremendous. It is. Well, we know that there's a lot of information and research, and it just keeps growing, the catalog and things like, you know, the gut brain access and what's happening with our dietary and digestion and what's going on with our mental health. And you mentioned clarity of thinking and those kinds of things. And I mean, it's a really big deal to kind of start to solve some of those problems. Inflammation in the gut can have real effects with our, you know, our thinking and our mental health. Breath work, right? We talk about it as breath work or HRV training, or, you know, it can start to become something with like meditation, but any of those things, they have a huge impact on mental health. And we know this. There's so much research that verifies that our breathing can impact so much of our clarity and how we deal with stress. And you mentioned earlier about the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic versus sympathetic, fight or flight, freeze and faint, you know, all these things that we might experience, whether it's on a low level, I have too much to do. How am I going to get through the day? I'm overwhelmed. To a high level, I'm actually encountering crisis. How do I handle this best? And, you know, these health habits bring you into a place where you start to understand how you can get yourself into a calm place and you can think rationally and clearly, even under some stress. It's tremendous.
Yeah. You know, we don't tell people we can eliminate their stress. What we teach them is how to self-regulate through it and build resilience. And, you know, there's all kinds of data, and it's all, I've got research cited in my book about the correlation between vagal tone and HRV and mental health. Because, you know, when you have low HRV, that's correlated with anxiety, depression, a lot of mental health problems. And it's basically because you've got this brittle rubber band. You have no variability in your cardiovascular system. So life comes at us highly variable. And when your resiliency organ, your heart, can't perform up to the task, that's when the mental health sets in. And so, you know, people that work with us, we improve their HRV, which means they get a stretchier rubber band, which then means they can flex with life better. You know, and like for Dr. Matt with me, you know, he found out I had genetic disposition to not making dopamine and serotonin. I had a gut biome problem. I had excessive inflammation throughout my body and in the gut. And so as a result, I had a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of fear-based thinking. I used to make rash decisions out of fear. And as Dr. Matt cured all of that and I implemented the habits, none of that is present in my life anymore. Like, I'm just very resilient. Whenever I have any kind of thought like that, I can deal with it and move on, and no one ever knows. You know, it doesn't come out in some stupid decision I make, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it was very real. I used to have a lot of daily mental health challenges that are simply gone.
Yeah. And I'll add on to that, because, you know, you said that we don't solve people's stress. And there's such a truth there. You know, I can tell you from experience working inside of a behavioral hospital, you know, psychiatric setting, is that so much of what we were doing, you know, on the unit with patients who were coming into us with crisis is, it wasn't, we weren't going to take their stress away. Their stressors were numerous and outside of our control. Right. What we were trying to do is exactly what we do at Tiger, but on a, you know, on a much quicker, smaller scale, right? We were trying to get people, you know, to some form of homeostasis. We had to find a little balance back for them. But a lot of it was around things like controlling our breathing. Yep. Something as simple as that is getting somebody to calm down, you know, but we were never going to take away all of their stressors. So how are we going to empower them to go back into that world too often with those same stressors existing? And that's exactly what it is, you know, and that's a crisis setting. So it's not typically what most people have experienced on any level, but it's still a lot of the skill set. It translates. So
one of the reasons that I wrote my book on Unleash the Peak Performer Within You, and we have our newsletter that we send to our clients. The other side to this, and I had a client recently explain this to me. He goes, you know, I thought I was getting a medical program, but I actually got a mindset program also, because what we do is we try to teach people a new worldview of less is better, of learning how to have these cycles of effort and then cycles of recovery. And, you know, work, you know, a lot of our dentists do this. They only work 3 days a week in the chair and they have two recovery days, the ones that are the most successful. And what I have found is I only work about 35 to 40 hours a week now. I used to work 70 for 30 years. I'm getting more done working less than I ever did before because I've learned how to re-engineer my life around a sustainable form of peak performance, learning how to work in a flow state, how to be highly concentrated for an hour at a time, and getting 500% more done than I used to get done. And so that's also an important part of what we do with people is it's not just the medical, it's you've got to pair that now with a new way of thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's such a unique part of what we do. So it's awesome.
Well, Kevin, thanks for joining me on the Tiger Performance Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a pleasure to be here. And I'm obviously excited about the work that we're doing. And I appreciate you having me.
Sure. Well, and if you want to learn more, just go to tigermi.com. We have a learning center where we've got articles on health habits. You can learn about our program. Just a lot of things that will help you educate yourself on. Maybe you can do it on your own, or if you want to get a health coach like what we've talked about today, you'll be able to learn about that and how you might be able to do that with us as well. And you can also go onto the team page and learn about me and Kevin if you want. We've got our bios there. And but anyway, I just want to thank everybody for listening in and thank you and come back for our next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Tiger Performance Podcast. We'll see you again next time and be sure to click subscribe to get the future episodes.